according to medical authorities, walking is one of the most profitable forms of physical exercise. You hear what I say? That walking is the greatest form of physical exercise. Now, I'm fixing to put you on the spot. I know we have some. But if you walk every day for health reasons, would you stand right now? Well, the rest of us in bad shape, I'll tell you about that. According to medical, it stimulates the hearts and lungs, it strengthens the bones and muscles, it increases the blood flow throughout the body, and contributes to the loss of excess weight. And because of its value, medical professions tell us in order to leave the car in the garage and walk more often. Several years ago, I had a swell in my heart and spent a week in Greenville Memorial Hospital. And I never will forget the surgeon. The doctor talked to me and he said, "Here's what you need to do." He said, "Ron, as much as you're in the hospital," he said, "I know you're not going to walk and do a lot of things that I tell you to do." He said, "But when you're in the hospital, and you're in the hospital just about every day, take the steps instead of the elevator." He said, "I always just use the steps." And I said, "Doc, what if it's a seventh floor?" He said, "Use the steps." Now, you know what? Wanting to follow his advice, I tried. It didn't take me very long to realize that once I got to where I was going, I didn't have enough breath to pray for the person that was in the bed. I'm serious. It's pretty bad when the pastor walks in and says, "Slide over for a few minutes, let me lay the hands." So that didn't work. But we all know that they tell us to leave the car in the garage and walk more often. Did you know that the average pair of feet takes 7,000 to 8,000 steps a day? Now think about that. About 2.5 million steps a year. Tired already. That means that in a lifetime you'll walk somewhere around 115,000 miles in your lifetime. There was a man by the name of David Kuntz on October the 5th, 1974, who was the first man to walk pretty well across our country and back. You realize that in his story it tells, and it's a true story, it took him 4.5 years and 22 pairs of shoes later, he successfully completed his journey. Now we might not leave the car under the garage and walk, but according to the Bible, we're all walking whether we realize it or not. And the greatest walk of all is not to walk around that track that's supposed to help us physically. Our greatest walk that matters most of all is how we walk with God. How we walk with God. I can be physically fit and not walk with God and not be the person that God really wants me to be. And listen to this. Our walk with God is not a start and stopping thing. Some people say, "Well, I'm going to walk with God on Sunday morning, and I'm going to walk into His church, and I'm going to worship Him, and then I'm going to walk back out in the parking lot, and things are going to be the same." Can I tell you something? If you're really walking with God, life will never, ever be the same. Every day is a new day with Jesus. Never know what's going to come our way. Never know how trials are going to get, but aren't you glad when you're walking with God? Praise God, He'll never leave us. Amen. It's not a run. It's not a run. Some people run, and you know what they do? They run ahead of God. And they begin to think they're smarter than God. They can do things without God. I want you to understand something, church. You can never, ever do anything without God. It's not a crawl. Some people are crawling for God, they're not getting anywhere. No, it's not a crawl. It's a steady walk, hand in hand, day by day, with God Himself. I said in my prayer about Bible school, how how we finished up going trip to Babylon and studying the life of Daniel and how Daniel discovered that when you walk with God, yeah, you may be cast in the lion's den, but thank God he closes their mouths. It's a constant day-by-day walk. It's not a run. It's not a jog. It's not a crawl. And let me remind you, church, when you walk hand-in-hand with God, God will never lead you into places that you ought not go, and God will never lead you to say things you ought not say. And so, therefore, you need to stay right beside of God, or you'll mess things up. It's a day-by-day walk. Step-by-step. With the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of these glorious days, our walk down here will come to a stop. And we'll quit walking down here, and hallelujah, we'll start walking up there. It's a walk with God. I thought, studying the Bible, I discovered that there's several folks that walk with God, but there's one in particular that you know of, and you probably can quote this by heart. And he was the seventh down from Adam, and his name was Enoch. And in Genesis chapter 5, he tells us this little story. This is all we have on this man. We don't have anything else. We don't know anything else about who he was, what he was all about. This is all we have about this man. Look at verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Now he was 65 years old when he had Methuselah. I'm going to tell you one thing. If you have a child at 65 years of age, you better be walking with God. But look at verse 22. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. Now guess what? He didn't walk with God until he had his son. And something about that son intrigued him that he could not do it by himself. Listen, moms and dads, you better discover in the parenting thing, you've got to have some help. And that help comes from God. Amen. We can't have it. We can't have it. It will absolutely drive you crazy. And so therefore, when you walk with God, you give your children to God and say, okay, God, I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to try my best. But then, God, you've got to do the rest. You've got to understand that. If you don't, you will drive yourself crazy. And aren't you glad that God can take care of your children a whole lot better than you can? And so he lived 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Now look at verse 23. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. He lived to be 365 years of age. Verse 24. And Enoch walked with God. Two times. We have been reminded that he walked with God. He began his walk after Methuselah. And he walked for 300 years with God. And he was not, for God took him. Let me say this. When he started his walk with God at 65 years of age, and he finished his walk with God at 365 years of age, do you know something that's great? He was still the same God that he was when he began his walk, that he was when he finished his walk. Some people change in your life, and they change, and they're different to you than they used to be. But can I remind you, God never does change. He loves me today. He will love me tomorrow. And 20 years from now, if I'm still living, he'll love me. But guess what? Even if I'm dead and gone, he'll still love me, for I'll be in his presence. And so he walked with God. Enoch was one of two men in the Bible who it says that he walked with God. He walked with God and he witnessed his power. And he felt his presence every day. And you know what's amazing about this thing is? And God was pleased with him. You know who we are trying to please more than anybody? God. God. You can't always please some of your family, and you can't always please some of your friends, but I want to remind you today that the one that you ought to strive to please the most is God Himself. And if we please God every day, then that's all that really matters to start with. God was pleased with him. He walked with him. Now in his life, if you study his life, this is all we got. You can't dig too deep. This is all we got. If you study his life, you'll discover his life looked like David. David was a roaring person. You know, everything in life in David's life was out in the open maze. It was a very roaring. You can see David's life. What about Job's life? Oh yeah, everything piled on Job. He wouldn't curse God and he wouldn't die. I mean, so he wouldn't die and he didn't curse God and turn his back on God. And God, so his life was different. But now when you study Enoch's life, it was a sort of an autumn day, a very quiet, very beautiful life. Nothing is very said a whole lot about Enoch. David was who God made him to be. Job was who God made him to be. Enoch was who God made him to be. Let me remind you, men, don't try to be somebody you're not. Be the man that God created you to be. You'll never fit in somebody else's shoes, so don't try to put on their shoes. Just be the man that God created you to be. We mess up when we try to be somebody we're not. Can I remind you, God established us. God created our hearts. Our hearts be inside of us. God gave us personalities. God gave us what we need. Just be the man that God wants us to be. Amen. He didn't try to be Job. Job didn't try to be Enoch. Enoch didn't try to be David. David didn't try to be Enoch. You know what? He was just a simple thing. And the only thing we find about him is right here. Now here's some of the things you're going to do in your Christian life. You're going to begin your walk with God and then you're going to sit down. We've got a lot of folks sitting in church who have sat down with God. Oh, they took their Bible. Yeah. They pray. But the most they ever do for God is to walk in a sanctuary, probably most of the time one service a week, and they sit in a sanctuary and they get up and go home. We've got a lot of sitting beds. We've got a lot of sitting Christians. And God says, hey, that's not what I called you to do. I didn't call you to save you to sit out in a chair and just sit there. No, I called you to walk through this life together with me. Amen. Walk through this life together with me. And let me remind all of you that have sat out on God, God's not finished with you or we'd be already buried you. And so if God's not finished with you, then get up off your rear end and be everything that God wants you to be in the short period of time that you have down here.
Amen.
By the way, if you're a sitting Baptist who walks into the sanctuary and finds your pew and sits there for one service a week and then criticizes everybody else who's up walking with God, shame on you. For you're doing absolutely nothing but taking space up on God. You won't even say it. And then there's the soak it. You come and soak it all in. Yeah, I know I'm supposed to read my Bible more. I know I'm supposed to do this more. I know, I hear that in Sunday school. I hear it in preaching. I hear it in songs. I hear it everywhere. I know I'm supposed to love more. It's like the song that was just sung for us. I know I'm supposed to do that. We soak it in and we never do anything with it. Even a sponge that gets soaking wet has to be squeezed every once in a while to get the water out. You can't keep soaking it in without doing something with it. If you do, you're going to be completely wet on God. And God's got enough wet, damp, dreary, depressed children anyway. If you hadn't stopped and thought lately, God is still the all-time wonderful God.
Amen.
So you don't even sit. You're going to sow. Now listen to what happens to you. If you sit and you sow, you're going to become solid. Solid. Nothing will ever make you smile. Nothing will ever make you happy. Why? Because you're going to sit down with God. You're soaking it all in, but you're not doing anything. Even that sponge that gets so wet, gets so heavy, after a period of time, you become solid. Not everything is bad, child of God. Listen to me. Not everything is bad. God is still in the blessing business. Let me say this. Not everything is bad in our lives. Not everything is bad in our church. God is still on the throne. And guess what? That's where he will stay. So don't sin. And don't sow. And don't become silent. It is pitiful when your life comes to a close. And the only impact you've had on somebody was how grumpy and how grouchy you really were. You hear what I said? How grumpy and grouchy you really were. The greatest thing that can be said about you when you leave this earth was that's one of the happiest people I ever know, I have ever known. Not because they had anything, but they had God taking care of them. So you can sit, soak, become silent, or you can serve. Now, listen. What are the ingredients for walking with God? Now, listen to me very carefully. I'm going to tell you, and then we're going to go home. The first thing, some appropriate ingredients. You just don't set out walking with God. No, you just don't get up one morning and say, you know what, this God thing, I've been thinking about this God thing. I think I'm going to walk with God. No, there's some things that has to happen in your life. There's some things happening in you. There's some things that happen in you. Even though it don't pay up, spell it all out, you know something happened when the birth of that child. Something happened in its life. And he realized that he needed to walk with God. He needed a relationship with God. Here's what's going to happen. If you're going to walk with God, there always has to be reconciliation. When we say that a man walks with God, that means that he has been reconciled to God. He has found God to be his God. He's not a creator of the universe. He don't just hang the stars in the proper place, nor the sun. You have to have a reconciliation with God. And the only way you can be reconciled with God is through his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And so that's where it starts. It don't start joining the church. And it don't start being baptized. It starts on your knees asking God to forgive you of rejecting him. And then you have a reconciliation with God. And that means that God walks with you and he talks with you. And when you slip and fall, you can say, Father, I messed up. I'm sorry. I messed up. And he intercedes for us and forgives us. And we keep walking. Amen. By the way, when you slip and fall on God, don't quit on God. Don't quit on God. Church folks may say, well, you just need to stop. You've got away from God. You just don't need to do this and do that. Let me tell you something. Don't ever stop on God. If he's big enough to forgive you the first time, hallelujah, he's big enough to forgive you the second time. We've got so many church workers who won't work anymore because somewhere along the journey they made a mistake in their life with God. And they said, God can't use me. Can I remind you, if you say God can't use you, you don't say very much for the forgiving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody in this building has a past. Everybody. Every single body. Some of our past is worse than yours. But I will tell you, thanks be unto God that he's forgiven us of our past. Some of us made mistakes yesterday. Aren't you glad when we cry out to our Father, we're reconciled with him all over again? Do you think for 300 years he had always done what was right with God? No! He slipped and he failed and he did this and he did that. But he knew that in his walk with God, God was never going to forsake him.
Amen.
You've got to have reconciliation. Have you been saved? We saw Tim Lettison's perfect song, Power in the Blood. Have you been forgiven through the red flowing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? This preacher can't forgive you. Your Sunday school teacher can't forgive you. Walking down the aisle of this church can't forgive you. I'll tell you, the only one that can forgive you is the Lord Jesus Christ. There must be reconciliation. Have you been reconciled? I'm not talking just to men. I'm talking about women too. We're all on a journey with God. And it starts the day we understand what he did on the cross for us. There's a reconciliation. The second thing is a realization. What did he realize? Enoch realized that he needed company in his life. You say, well, I got this person. You don't have anybody in your life like God. And so he knew that he needed someone. And so Enoch said, okay, God, I'm going to make a deal with you, God. Here's what my deal is, God. It's just as very simple. And we make people in the Bible make them sound like they had to have some kind of big professional grown-up contracts. No, they were people like us. And I think they talked to God like us. I think Enoch said one day, God, I really need you. I really need you. And God, I'm going to make this pact with you. I'll walk with you. And you'll walk with me. And here's what God said to Enoch. I've just been waiting on the invitation.
Amen.
I've just been waiting on you to tell me that you really need me. There's some good church folks who don't think they need God. You better come to the realization that you've got to have God.
Amen.
There's some good church folks that feel like all they've got to do is read the Bible and that's all they need. I'm going to tell you something. If you don't follow in the footsteps of the God of the Bible, reading your Bible won't help you.
Amen.
And then there's some folks who say, I'll just show up at church ever so often, and that's all I need in my walk with God. That's all I need. No, I'll tell you something. You eat more than one meal a day. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Because I know you're not busy walking, because the majority of you didn't stand up and say you're walking, so you eat. So if that be the case, then we've got to feed on God. People say, well, I can worship God at the beach, and I can worship God in the lake, and I can worship God in the mountains, and that's true. God's everywhere, but I'll tell you one thing, your thoughts are not on God when you're at the beach or the lake and the mountains. You might talk about how pretty it is for a short period of time, but you really don't worship God. Come to realization, after your reconciliation, that God wants to walk a steady walk with you. It's not a skill. It's not a run. It's not a hop. It's not a sit down and take a break. I hear people say, well, I just really need to take a break on God. God's never took a break on you. What would happen if God said, I'll tell you what, since they want to take a break on me, I'm going to just take a break on them, and I'm going to stop taking care of them for a little while. Matter of fact, I'm just going to let their heart stop a little while. You would be gone. There must be a realization. Some of you want to walk with God when things are bad, when things settle down, you back out. Some of you want to walk with God as long as everybody treats you just right, and then if they don't treat you right, you go. I'll tell you what you do. When people start treating you bad or treat you in a way you don't think you ought to be treated, go back home and take your Bible sometimes. Sit down in your recliner, cut the TV off, lay your cell phone over the side, and look through this Bible, and you'll discover that everybody who ever done anything for God suffered. So if all them had quit, there'd have been no followers of God in those days. If everybody quits today, there'll be no followers of God in our day. You know what? Just say, from this day forward, I have been reconciled with God. He's my Savior. I realize it's not a one-time event. It's not an ever-so-often walk. It's a day-by-day walk. That's why. That's why it's an absolute waste of my time to start walking for my health. And you say, why? I'll walk one day, wait 3 months, and walk another day. And I'm going to tell you one thing. You might look at me strange. You've got the same problem. I tell you what we need to do. Let's just meet you start us walking club. We'll just walk the first Monday of every month. That sounds good. But it won't do us very much good for our health. If you decide you want to walk with God ever so often, that sounds good. We're proud of you. But it ain't going to do very much for your spiritual life. There must be a realization and a reconciliation. That's the ingredients. There's a second key to this thing. Second key. What's the incentive that causes us to walk? That's the ingredients. What's the incentive? Here's what it is. Very simple. And then we're going to leave. The first thing is this. I think Enoch had to practice this. And it's the old word that we throw around a lot, that it don't mean like it used to mean to us. And it's the old word faith. If you're going to walk with God, it takes a whole lot of faith.
Amen.
It takes a whole lot of faith.
It really does. You've got to have faith in God. It takes faith. Like every other descendant of Adam, Enoch was by nature a child of wrath. He was born in sin. Some commentators tried to say he was one of those who wasn't born in sin. I've got news for you. Everybody since Adam and Eve was born in sin except the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was born with a sinful nature. And the day came when he was reconciled to his Maker. And from that day on, he had the testimony that he pleased God. You say, how do you know? Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, in one little verse of Scripture said, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Can I tell you something? How did we know that? How did he please God? By walking by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? He put his faith and his trust in God. And he had a faith that grew, that gave him the incentive to walk with God every single day. You know what happened? He started out after 65 years of life, and he started out walking with God. You know, God did something wonderful in his life that first week. And he said, you know what, that's pretty good. And he started walking that second week. And God did something wonderful that week. God may not do something spectacular off the board for you every day, but I'll guarantee you once a week, God's going to do something spectacular off the board for you if you have faith in him. And so as God began to bless, you began to walk that much closer to it. You know, it's almost like you step way over here, and God's way over there. And as they began to walk, and God began to bless them, they got closer and closer and closer and closer in their walk through faith. Their walk through faith. At the close of his 300-year walk with God, Keith was not the same. It's one thing to talk about God. It's another thing to reason and speculate about God. But it's a total, total different thing to live in faith to God. Now what's going to happen if you go out of this building today and have an emergency? Medical emergency. You're going to dial 911. You're going to have faith that that ambulance stopped with paramedics is going to come to your rescue. That's the kind of faith you're going to have. That's the kind of faith you're going to have. Why not believe that God is just as close as a 911 call?
Amen.
Faith. Where's your faith?
Did God walk with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace? He sure did. Was God in the lion's den? He sure was. Was God with Noah when he built the ark? He sure was. Was Jesus out there when Peter stepped out to walk on the water? He sure was. And I've got news for you. He's going to be there for all those cats. He'll be there for us. Where is our faith? That's the incentive, is our faith. The second thing incentive is our family. It's amazing to me that how he wanted to walk with God after he had his son. You know what happened in Enoch's life? He quit worrying just about himself and started focusing on those around him. Parents, listen to me. If you're not concerned about yourself, please be concerned about that child that God blessed you with. Be concerned. And I tell you what the church needs, and we're blessed. We're blessed. Because I will say this from this pulpit, mean every bit of it. If it were not for the women in the lives of our church, a lot of stuff would go undone. You can say amen, that's the truth. The women do it. The women do it. What we need is some men who will stand up and say, I want to be the man that God wants me to be.
Amen.
And PR, if for no other reason, than for my family. That's reason enough.